This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh-oh, we're early. It's the WIP afternoon show. With Ike and Spike and Fritz and Hugh and Giglio.
What up, though?
We've invaded. Ike, how we feeling, buddy?
Brother Spike, not feeling too good.
Whoa.
Got a hole in the back of my mouth. I went to the dentist this morning, but who gives a damn?
All right.
Just saying, who gives a damn? I'm just letting you know I'm perked up over here.
I was going to say, the hole in the back of the mouth might have been a pause.
I'm on a smile.
Okay.
Oh, don't worry about it, dog. I got a chiclet missing. That's why I have to do the half smile.
Hugh's at the dentist once a week, so
I ain't got no front tooth, and that's why I half smile, because I'm waiting on the doctor to call me and let me know when my tooth come
in. Dog, we going down bad over here, man. What's
no, that's why I did a whole diatribe yesterday. Like, man, when you reach a certain age, your mouth can't look like you got a rake in it, dog. Well, so I'm gonna get my tooth fixed soon as Doc called me.
Is this what it's like on the other side of 50? See, right. I'm still safe.
No, I'm just saying, Spike.
Your teeth just start falling out left and right.
No, the premise is this.
Like, yep.
We have been blessed to have a great dental plan.
Right.
And I feel like once you reach a certain age, if your mouth look like you got a rake in it,
yep,
that's on you.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? So yes. Get your mouth fixed. Like I was telling all the old folks, grown folks, ain't nothing wrong with veneers. Get your mouth fixed. Don't be running around with teeth missing, teeth right. crooked, and all the too old for that, man. Because we, you know what I mean? Too old for that.
Yeah.
Too old
well,
for
we,
that.
Listen, we're in the eye of the public, so we can't
Yeah, you can't be out there with your mouth. Look like, what's wrong with your mouth?
I also want to be like Dame Dash and have like my grill.
Oh yeah,
fall
your
out.
Grill fall out. Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. You know what's funny? That happened to me one time before. I was talking to somebody. One of them tooth came out, and she said, "Don't worry about it, baby. It's happened to me before."
What's going on?
Well, here we are. Wait a minute. Is Fritz even here? He's not there.
He's waiting until afterwards.
Okay, all right.
Wow, he's like that now? He's big time?
Yeah, he's out of control.
There's plenty of microphones. It's not that hard.
Oh, look. He didn't even come to work yesterday. He didn't do Fritz last week.
You maternity leave and you the man.
And we found out yesterday, by the way, that he took his nephew to the batting cages one day during paternity
leave.
Well,
that was for Jack.
Yes, but that's what we figured out. So the reason we're in here early, and thank you for letting us encroach upon the WIP Midday Show, is that Howie Roseman speaks at 2 p.m. from the Combine, and then Nick Sirianni speaks at 2:15 from the Combine. And there's, you know, it's crazy. They won the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago, and we're really smack dab in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
We had the offensive coordinator thing happen last week. We have the Myles Garrett rumors. We have the tush push stuff happening. You know, I don't know what you guys want to hear from these guys. My number one thing is still OC, honestly. I want to hear from Howie. I want to hear from Nick if they talk to anybody else. And I suppose it's possible they could have interviewed people under the radar, but we didn't hear anything about it. And I keep going back to the fact that I'm good with the Kevin Petullo hire. I'm not good if they didn't talk to anybody about it.
And you know, it feels like we would have found out if they did.
I would have thought, right?
Unless they didn't want us to find out, and we find out today, maybe.
Right, possibly. Is there anything, I suppose that they'll get asked about the tush push. Is there anything, Ike, is there anything you are looking forward to hearing from Howie or Nick Sirianni today?
Well, let's see. From Coach Sirianni, I don't really think it is anything I need to hear from Coach Sirianni. I mean, he didn't get a lot of coverage after the Super Bowl. He got the Gatorade bath thrown on him. I don't know how much he's gotten a chance to enjoy these last couple of weeks as a Super Bowl winning head coach. He gave a short speech at the parade.
Which seemed like by design.
I would imagine.
It was very short. Yeah. Way shorter than the mayor's.
Yes. Well.
Yeah, the mayor was there. Right?
Well, she spoke more than probably 15 Eagles combined.
Combined, yeah.
What are you doing?
So I don't know if there's anything I want to hear from Coach. There's no real pressing thing from him from that standpoint. I know he's down there to look at guys. And with Howie, I guess with Howie, the biggest thing I would want to know, and I doubt if he would give us a legitimate answer, but the importance of keeping as many free agents as he can get.
Like keeping this gang together.
Keeping our guys together. Like, I think that's the biggest thing I would want to know from Howie is that, you know, paying a linebacker, Zach Bond, right? Being able to keep him, right? And you can always tell with Howie what his intentions are going to be with how much he gives you.
Right.
If he just gives you some sort of general answer.
Zach was great for us this year.
Yeah.
We look forward to see what happens.
And then he throws that whole, we can't keep everybody, we like to keep everybody, we can't keep everybody thing in there, then I'm not feeling good. But if he starts with how important Zach was to the defense and I can't see him playing, like that type of stuff.
How we speak.
Yeah, I feel a lot better. So, but even with the younger guys like a Milton Williams.
Right.
Right? Like those are the guys that are tough because they're young. Not yet to hit his prime, coming off his rookie deal. He's one of your draft picks. You developed him. He plays a position that you guys prioritize. I wonder if they have the ability to step up and re-sign a guy like that?
You know what? I kind of look at Ike, and I think it's a testament to the way that the defense played this year. Even though you developed him, you can afford to let him go because I look at the quick development of – the team, the guys that play this, the Zach Bonds, the young guys on the back end.
Yep.
And I look at this coaching staff and whatever formula that they put together to get these guys out on the field and produce the way that they did, you're going into a draft where you can find a guy
that's true.
Can have control for like 4 or 5 years that you can develop, that come in. And we already got our core guys, like, you know, Jalen Carter's coming up. You can get a young guy and say, hey, man, just go play that three technique. Rush the passer. Because that's what that three technique is going
to
do.
Sure. Get out of the quarterback.
Because Jalen taking that double team.
Yeah.
So while I agree with you on that, Hugh, if all their free agents, if they were on other teams, I feel like Milton Williams would be the one they'd want the most. Like if they were all playing from elsewhere, 25 years old, defensive tackle, feels like that's the one they'd spend on.
But Javon Hargraves, to me, was in the same situation. You know,
maybe a little bit older. Yeah, he was a little bit older.
Yeah. He was on the other side of 30.
But they originally signed Hargrave as a free agent when he was 25.
Yeah,
but then they let him go.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. And plus, you're looking at Milton Williams. The money, and this is the truism about being in free agency. The money you're going to get from another team is going to be way more money.
Oh yeah,
than you're
going to
get. Somebody going to overpay for you. Somebody's going to
cap them went up.
Yeah,
teams got
and somebody's going to want.
I want Beckton over.
That's what I'm saying.
I want Williams. I want Bond.
I would
Williams.
Go with Beckton.
Yeah, because like
Bond and Beckton would be the two I would keep.
Same.
We football guys.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you, Milton.
Hughes is trying to become a football guy again.
I told him they're going to be giving Milton and his pops them expensive meats and that Dom Perignon and them meats wrapped in bacon.
Hey boy, Milton's dad is out there right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He out there.
He's going to get them meats wrapped in bacon.
Well,
what you talking about?
So
we know you got a bacon endorsement.
Oh yeah,
settle down.
Shameless plug. Nobody say that about Chew It and Do It. Chew It and Do It.
And there you go.
Matter of fact, you got some of those for your boy.
I was supposed to bring that in for you.
It was a bit, but you took it too far. You told my bit. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
no, you're good. No, I do.
Look,
but
man, what difference does it make? It's advertising.
But if you got them,
hook your boy up. Howie Roseman speaks from the combine at 2 o'clock. We will bring that for you here. Nick Sirianni will speak right afterwards. Joe.
That's a shameless plug right there.
Joe, do you think the Eagles will fight for the tush push?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like one, part of it feels
how
like.
How do you fight for the tush push?
Well, you got to get votes on your side.
Because yeah.
They need you 24, campaign. Yeah, they need 24 votes to overturn it. So they got to get 9-8 other teams to be with them on the tush push.
You know what
yeah.
I would do? If I was Howie and Coach Sirianni at the bar tonight when everybody hanging out and I saw Sean McDermott, you know what I'd come up to him and say? Dog, that's real messed up.
Fold him up.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm keeping it clean because I done had a couple moments where I almost, you know what I mean? I'm like, dog, that's real kind of messed up. You talking bad about the tush push, and your ass used it like 15 times. What the hell going on with
that's
that?
That's why I was confused. Now, KC did stop Buffalo in that title
that's
game.
That's what I'm talking about.
I wonder if Buffalo's just not good enough at it, and they, well, if we can't do it, then nobody else can.
I would put hands
can.
On Coach McDermott if I was Nick.
Wow. I do wonder if the Packers opened up Pandora's box.
This guy.
Because no one ever really came out against it, and then the Packers yesterday, now it feels like, because Raheem Morris and McDermott are like, well, actually.
I was surprised at Raheem, though. I was a little surprised at him, too.
Oh, he got to do something. He ain't doing nothing else.
Kind
of changed the headlines away from him.
I actually think it's just bad for football. If it was just
wait a minute,
I think the tush push is bad for football.
I'm not a big tush push guy either. Yeah. Seriously,
here's why I think it is.
I am so surprised. I am surprised.
I will say, but that's I've been that way from the beginning of
you
it.
Have you and Jack?
Yeah,
but enough to ban it, or you just don't love it?
I'm not about banning it. I'm just saying if they were to move on from it, I don't. And I heard a lot of the callers calling in, and quite frankly,
they were upset.
Listen, toughen up some of the midday callers.
Yeah, grow up.
A lot of whining going on.
Grow up. Hand it to Saquon.
Yeah, yeah.
Grow
just
up.
Get a ball to
so
Saquon.
I don't think it'd be a big deal for the Eagles.
Right.
I think they can overcome
it. I look at it, yes.
The betting side that came out on that one.
Oh, yeah, you lost parlays because it's such
a ball.
This is exactly the same as Ike. As soon as we.
But wait a second.
This
is motivated by something.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why it took me a minute, but now I realize because they lost some money.
Yeah, these aren't football guys. They're Vegas guys over here. Howie Roseman talks it at 2 o'clock. I think the reason it's bad for football, it wasn't bad for football when just the Eagles were doing it. But when everybody's doing it, the NFL has never hesitated to change the rules so the game looks better. It's why we ended up with passing as much as we did. And by the way, I think it's why they're going to end up adjusting the rules again to make sure that offense goes back up again, because as the game starts going more towards running, there will be less scoring. And I think that play, there's a lot of drama. You think about the play where the Eagles stopped the Cowboys, right, on the rushes, the Barry Switz in 96. Yep. There's no drama in the tush push.
Because it's so successful.
Because it's money.
Because it's ugly to look at, and it's successful. And I don't think there is a way to stop it. And I think that's why they are going to end up banning it, because they don't want 16 teams on 3rd-and-1 doing a glorified QB sneak ugly.
You need a Vita Vea or a Jordan Davis in the middle of that defense, man.
And not only that, Jacksonville stopped it. You need the personnel. That's the thing.
That's what it is. You need the personnel down there.
This is, to me, the tush push is basically about physical domination. Mm-hmm. And if you do not, and think about it like this too, Spike. Our offensive line is bigger than most of the defensive lines we play with. Over the years, defensive linemen have gotten smaller. They've gotten smaller. They're faster to combat, pass rushing. So if the game is evolving every year, it's a different game, and the game has changed. The offensive linemen are bigger, defensive linemen are smaller. Take advantage of that. And that's basically what it is. They're taking advantage of that, of the evolution of the game.
But I don't think the league is going to sit around and wait for defensive linemen to get big again for this to stop. Like, I think this is gone next year. That would be my guess. This is gone next year.
I think one more year and then it's gone, or you mean
I think
next year?
I think actually this next year is probably.
I don't think the votes might come in.
Well,
why would the teams care about the aesthetics?
There.
Like Roger Goodell and Fox and CBS, I get why they would say this is boring for TV. Like, why would the teams?
Well, because the team's defense, I don't think the teams are as successful at it offensively as the Eagles are.
It's an advantage for the Eagles.
It's an advantage for very few teams.
Yeah, mostly just the Eagles.
And they're going to try doing it, and it's not. And I know we haven't had any injuries on it. I do watch that play and wait for somebody's neck to get torn up or wait for somebody to get paralyzed because of how that play is happening.
It just feels like if they do it, people are going to view it as they took it away from the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. No
doubt. Of course.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you can't just
be.
Take plays away from teams because they're good at it.
The sign to me was when Troy Vincent put it in the same category as the hip drop tackle. And as soon as he said, we thought about these two things as the same thing, not the same thing, but in the same category, yeah. And we got rid of one of them. And that is him framing it as a player safety issue more than anything else. They're not going to say it's aesthetics. That's right. Not what they're going to say. But they're going to say it's a player safety issue, and they won't keep it.
I wonder if they're also banned, because you can, like, when a receiver catches the ball 10 yards down the field, he catches it, he's being held up, someone comes and pushes him. You got to ban everything, because that's not fair if you take away the tush push. You know what I mean? Like a player.
Well, I don't think you can say. You can say behind the line of scrimmage.
Well, okay. Then you have yeah. to frame, because you can't just take away the tush push. It's not even we've created the name for it.
Right.
They
right,
have
right.
to frame it as you can't do something yeah. specific.
One offensive player can't push another offensive behind player in the pocket behind the line of scrimmage. And I think that's the easiest way to do it, between the tackles.
What if they did it where you can only have one player push?
Instead of multiple?
Instead yeah. of multiple players pushing?
Yeah.
Then tweak it.
Then we got to hire. We got to get some. That's when you put Jordan Mailata as the fullback.
We got a lot of calls about that yeah. today. People yep. wanted Mailata in the backfield.
Yeah, yep. you got to have Mailata in the backfield. We will hear Howie Roseman.
Been trying to get Mailata in the backfield for 5 years.
Howie Roseman in moments. Is he there now? No,
no,
you're going to
no.
tell me. All right, I'm not used to working with you, Kyle. You yeah. got to tell me.
I will get in your ear when he comes
all
out.
All right, there you go. So we'll hear Howie Roseman. You know, another thing I want to. Now, I don't think he's going to say anything. We talked. Last week on Friday, Ike and I talked about Saquon's workload, and he touched the ball 507 times last season. A lot. And when you look through the list of players, I went through the list of players who touched the ball 400 times regular season and playoffs, and what they look like the next year. It's not a pretty list, right? And the other thing you start thinking about is, okay, well, if we get him down to 20 touches a game, right? 20 touches a game is still 400 touches if you're playing all the regular season games and three playoff games. So even that number feels too high to me. And I wonder if they're going to think about not just passing the ball more, whether that second running back becomes more of a focus for the Eagles, and whether they even sign one.
Hugh's been on this for a while, that they draft one with one of their higher picks. Yeah. I mean, if they want to run the same offense, they need another running back.
Yes, yeah. absolutely. And there's some free agents out there. I don't think there's high-level free agents, but the Cowboys running back is out there. What's his name? Forget his name.
Pollard? No, he went to the Titans.
No, not Pollard.
Rico Dowdle
yep. is out there. I don't even... Kyle, what is the ID? I don't even know what it is. You want to say it?
Yeah, you're listening to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting live from the Tasty Cake Studios.
Oh, there he is. Oh, this is a pro back
that
there.
Was in a big
you think
spot,
Fritz would have known
that's
that?
Old
no shot.
Right there.
No
why,
shot.
It's old school
why
right
he
there.
At
work yet?
Yeah.
Jack, we don't even know
where
he's
here.
Is.
Oh, and here is Howie Roseman, live from the...
Combine.
There's no foreplay, Bob. We went right into it. Not hello, how's everyone doing? Oh, no. Right into it.
Yep.
You know, incredibly detailed program. And obviously, they have a history of winning. You know, when you look at it, when you add new players and you add this many new players from one place, they also know how to play off each other. They have a chemistry that normally you have to cultivate through your team and through years of practice. And so you get a head start. And then you're talking about really putting into place one of the greatest defenses in the history of college football. And, you know, they play with an edge. They play with a mentality. And, you know, Kirby does a phenomenal job. Everything really is player dependent. You know, when we talk about situations, it depends on the quality of play of the player, the person that we're talking about. And so you don't want to make any exceptions. Obviously, you have to have a vision of how you want your team to look. In the salary cap era, you have a certain number of resources that you can allocate, whether it's money or draft picks. And so whenever you do something, you're taking it from somewhere else. I mean, there's no way... at the stage we are with our team, that we can do something major without it coming from somewhere else. So we have to make all those decisions. But I think to kind of put us in a box and say, hey, we're not going to play, and I'm not saying that you're saying that we're, you know, we're not going to pay because historically we haven't done that. I mean, part of what we do is evolve and look at things and see how things are affecting our team, how things are affecting the league, and seeing our place in that. The existing
I don't. What's the difference in the existing?
Core.
Well, I could talk about this team, you know, not going back to 2017. We have a lot of guys who I think are in the prime of their careers under long-term contracts, not saying that team didn't, who are kind of in this 26, 27, 28-year-old range. Really, we have to do whatever we can to make sure that we keep this window open for as long as possible. The most important season is this one coming up, 2025, and doing whatever we can to maximize that. But we have to get creative to make sure that we're keeping as many of our good players as we can. I sat up here last year and I said that's going to include playing young players. And I think that's going to be a huge part of what we are going forward, because we're fortunate enough to have a lot of good players who are making a lot of money. Well, I don't really think that's fair to say about the Saints. You know, obviously we're playing in a different system. They did a great job, but they traded up in the draft to go select him in the third round. He was a player that everyone did a lot of work on coming out of Wisconsin. You knew what kind of tools he had in his body. You knew what intangibles he had, and he was looking for an opportunity to play. And, you know, we kind of went, when you bring in a new defense coordinator like we did with Vic, and looking at some of the guys that he had success with and seeing some parallels there. And then you got to give a tremendous amount of credit to Zach and the work that he did playing a new position for the first time in the NFL. Our coaching staff, making sure he was put in a great position to make plays. And, you know, obviously really proud of all those people. Yeah, I think obviously you got to find the happy medium towards making sure the players are fairly compensated and feeling good about it, and at the same time doing it early enough so you can try to save some cap room, because every time you save some cap room and then you compound it by signing another player, it gives you an opportunity to add other players. And you know, I think it's really important for us to try to identify the guys that we want as quickly as possible and be confident in those evaluations. Not saying we're always going to be right. I think doing that allows you to start the proration a little bit early, which saves some cap room. What's the difference? I can only speak about my mood right now, so I can't really speak about anyone else's mood. And I'm feeling like I'm back in Indy for the combine. So, no doubt. I mean, I think when you're talking about difference-making players at any position, I would put them in franchise-making mode. You know, when you have guys who make a huge difference at whatever position they are, those guys are franchise-changing players for you. Do we not have him for a full offseason last year? Are you talking about last year? Yeah, I mean, we're just talking about franchise players. I mean, Saquon's a franchise player at the running back position, you know, and I think just a special player who can do over everything that you're looking for at the running back position, and obviously unbelievable character. And so when you have guys like that, the opportunities to continue to expanding their role and the things that they can do, I know Nick and Kevin, our coaching staff, are talking about that all the time. Yeah, first, Kellen, unbelievable person. Saints are getting incredibly smart, detailed, great person as their head coach. And you know, just really fun to be around him and watch him work and the impact that he had on our football team. Yeah. How many years have you been doing this? Yeah, I figured. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about anyone under contract with another team. I think that, you know, one thing that I can promise our fans is that there will not be a player that's available that we won't study, that we won't look at and see if it can help the team. Sometimes those opportunities work, and you're able to do that, and sometimes they don't. I'll come back. Yeah, I think you're always trying to find competitive advantages. That's something that, you know, we're always looking for. I think that you also have to look at the strengths of the class in free agency in the draft and see what the opportunities really are. You can't just make up opportunities even if you want to be creative. And but I think just to be consistent, you know, we have a vision of how the team's going to look, what's really important for us to continue playing at a high level. And, you know, I think it's my job every year to make sure that we have that as a starting point, as a base when we start the off season. And after that, it allows you to get creative. You know, if you don't really have the pillars of your football team, if you don't have those, it doesn't matter how creative you are. It's going to be hard to win. Yeah, I think it's always important to talk to people who've had success in sports, in other industries, to see if there's creative ways that you can compete, that you can find ways to compete. And I think, you know, I'm always trying to pick the brains of people smarter than I, which is a low bar. But, yeah, I think you're always looking at other sports and how they're doing it and trying to find creative ways. And some of the things that we've done over the last 5 years or 10 years have come out of discussions with teams from other sports and seeing if we can find ways to some practical application of those. I'll get you. Well, I think one, it's the players, it's the quality of the players, it's the talent level of the players. And then it's the intangible qualities of the players, and then it's having phenomenal teachers. And, you know, we've been fortunate with Coach Stoutland to have him in place for a long period of time. And from my perspective, I know that whoever we bring in, we're going to get the most out of their talent. And I think that that's really, like, we have that with a lot of our position coaches and our assistant coaches. But obviously Stout's been doing it for a long time. And as we talk about the offensive line, there's no one better in the world at it. Yeah, never feel like we can we have enough O-linemen or D-linemen. Always on the lookout for those positions at every level, whether it's in free agency, whether it's in the draft, whether it's after the draft, whether it's on the street. It's really like an unhealthy obsession, Zach, to be honest with you. And so I never feel good enough because I can convince myself. You know, I can go back and watch a game from this year and see that we were down 3 offensive linemen, you know, and then I'm going, well, now we need 8 starters, you know. And so it's the same with the D-line. I think that those are incredibly important positions, and, you know, you can never have enough of them. Morrow and... Yeah, very, very impressed by what they showed in their play time. Obviously didn't play a tremendous amount. They're young players who have really the tools in their body to be really good players, and expect to jump from both those guys. Hi, I'm doing good, thank you. How are you? It really doesn't. You know, I think at the end of the day, we're not behind in terms of the evaluations of the free agents or the draft process. We're just probably getting to Indy a little bit quicker. We've kind of set up our meetings in the past few years so that we do a lot of them after the combine so we can get more information. So I think it's really no different than last offseason when we were coming off a disappointing year. We have a vision of what we want to accomplish here. That doesn't always work according to plan, so we have backup plans to that. And we'll go out and try to execute the best we can and make the best possible decisions that we can.
With We've got time for two more.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're going to go wherever the players are. And when they're local and they're closer, obviously that makes it a little bit easier for us. But, you know, love having local guys and guys who play for schools that a lot of our area went to. But, you know, our job is very simple. You know, we got to get the best possible players. We got to continue to bring in talent to the building. And whether they come from Australia or Penn State, we're going to try to find them. I'd say the only difference really is just how quickly it comes upon you. You know, I think that when you have more time, when you lose early in the playoffs or, you know, don't get to the playoffs, which, you know, like hurts my stomach even thinking about. But I think that, you know, you have more time to kind of digest it and think about what's going on. And I think it just comes upon you a little bit quicker. So I think that's really it. Yeah, you know, I know a lot of these guys for so long that I don't know that I get a different reaction whether we have a good year or a bad year. But obviously it's nice to see people that you haven't seen all year, or, you know, you see someone before a game and it's like, you know, you're kind of wishing them good luck, but you really want to kick their ass. And so you'd be lying. You're kind of lying and faking. And it's like, I'll see you in the off season. So I think that's the fun part is getting together with some people that you haven't seen. And, you know, I look forward to that. I'll get Dave. I'll get these two.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Bob.
I'm sorry.
Surviving the parade and how I felt afterwards. I did survive the parade right here. And afterwards, I felt like we have an unbelievable fan base that we get millions of people to sit and cheer in 25-degree weather and root for our football team. The head's better. It's better, you know. I'm a little less handsome than I was a couple of weeks ago, but I'm not sure I had a lot to go there anyway, so. Is that out? What's that? John just... Okay. Man, great, great player. You know, that trade that we made, I was the personnel director at the time. The guy is just a freak of all freaks. They called him the franchise for a reason. You felt every Sunday going into a game that you had no worries no matter who the pass rusher was. Elite athlete, elite teammate, world champion. In my mind, no doubt, first ballot Hall of Famer. Just incredible career. And, you know, one of the many players that, you know, I don't think I'd be standing up here if it wasn't for the success of guys like that. So, just really thankful for Jason Peters.
There he is, Howie Roseman at the NFL Draft Combine. He didn't really say anything, to be honest.
Not much to say.
Yeah, we'll have Nick Sirianni in a moment. He did get asked about Myles Garrett. He can't comment on that. That was Elliot that asked him about Myles Garrett, but he can't comment on because he's under contract. Mm-hmm. So
tampering.
You know, and here is Nick Sirianni from the Draft Combine.
Yeah, we went through an extensive interview process for, you know, that position and the other positions that we're looking to fill. That's such an important piece to make sure. Like, it's such a good opportunity to sit and talk about coaching and kind of, you know, hear other people's thoughts. You know, I picked Kevin out of the people that we interviewed because thought he was the best man for the job. First and foremost, and also I think that when you look at a good organizations, you know, in college football, professional football, you know, continuity is very, very important. And and we were able to have a guy in-house that is so ready to do the job that he's going to be asked to do. And we were able to keep continuity for, you know, for Jalen. We're able to keep continuity for the receivers, AJ and Devontae, the offensive line, the offensive staff. There's a lot to that. And again, as I study great teams and great organizations, you know, when they have guys that they know they can promote from within that are ready to do the job, they do that. And Kevin is so ready to do that. Excited for his opportunity. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kellen just does a really good job of taking everybody's input and then figuring out what you have to do. There's a lot of different areas where you're getting input, and because it's a collaborative thing. But at the end of the day, Kellen had to make the decisions of what was best for the team. And I thought his collaboration of leading with everybody and valuing everybody's opinion, but also ultimately making the tough decisions that he had to make was outstanding. And I think that really stood out with everything. Yeah, that's a good question, Jeff. I think I've seen some of the stuff about what the, you know, that it's an automatic play, or, you know, that it's not a, we work really, really, you know, I almost feel a little insulted because we work so hard at that play. The amount of things that we've looked into how to coach that play, the fundamentals, is always, there's 1,000 plays out there, but it comes down to how you teach the fundamentals and how the players go through and do with the fundamentals. I can't tell you how many times we practice the snap, we practice the play, because it's not a play that it's easy to practice. There's different ways we figured out how to practice it. The compliments that come off of it that can create explosive plays. Again, we saw it in big-time games this year, and the fact that it's an automatic thing, that like we work really, really hard, and our guys are talented at this play. And so it's a little insulting to say it's just be, you know, we're good at it, so it's automatic. We work really hard at it. And you see it throughout the league. I mean, we saw it in the championship games that, you know, a team failed at it and ultimately didn't end up winning the game because of it. I watch every week, I watch every first and goal red zone fail every single time. And sometimes that first and goal starts at the one, and you see the team not be able to get in because they're not able to do that. And so I think that it's a skill that our team has because of the players that we have, the way the coaches coach it, that we, again, there's just so much time put into it. The fact that it's a successful play for the Eagles and people want to take that away, I think is a little unfair. And like I said, well, you can't pull. You can't pull. We look at all the plays throughout the NFL that happen. You know, one of my guys picks up all the plays because we teach this. When a ball carrier is in a pile, you know, on a run, Saquon's in a pile on a run, the offensive line gets behind him and pushes him. Now, you can't sprint behind him and crush the pile. You can't pull there. But that's something that we see throughout, and, you know, we've had some success on that as well. You know, the defense, when the defense is there, like, no one's going to tell the defense to stop pushing. You know, hey, one guy's enough. You can't add anybody else into it. So I think it's just again, obviously I'm protective of it because we've had success with it. But, you know, again, I think that the competition committee will do a good job of looking at everything. But I do feel that way a little bit, just like a little bit insulting in that sense of that, because the guys work hard at it, we work hard at it, and you know what? It wasn't 100% for us this year. We missed on some two-point conversions from the one. We missed them on some third downs. We missed on some fourth downs. I think we were in the 80% of what we were, and just because it's a successful play for us doesn't mean that it should go away. Yeah, I just think it's an important part of the process. Same reason you do exit interviews at the end of the year with all your players and all your coaches. You get a lot of information of what you can do better. Well, it's the same thing here. It's an important part of the process to get to know the players and to spend some time with the players in the interviews. It's an important part of the process to watch them work out. And so, you know, that's why, you know, again, you try to go through the steps, like, you know, of what you want to do to get yourself ready for the following year. And this is a really important part of the draft process and of going through the steps to get better. Yeah, I think when you look at that, because we've looked into that too, there wasn't a lot of injuries there. I think that's a little made up, to be honest. Now the numbers will tell the truth, but I don't think there was many injuries with it this year. I can't remember one injury we had on that play, and we ran it more than everybody else. And so, yeah, the injury numbers, the league will have that, and the injury numbers will come out on that, and I'm all for player safety and for that, but I don't think that play, I think that's just something that was said, but I don't think the numbers on that play suggest that. But you guys can look into that. Yeah, just different things pop up. We, you know, day in, day out, and you have to be ready to handle those things. You know, I have no doubt in my mind, though, Kellen will do a great job and be ready for the challenge. I tried. Maybe. I don't know. You'll have to ask him. Yeah, Parks, we're excited to add Parks. You know, a little bit, you know, we'll get you guys that information when the time is right. But just a phenomenal football coach that's obviously worked himself up in a very short amount of time because of his phenomenal work ethic. His football IQ, his ability to teach players fundamentals, and his ability to help with schemes. And he's been with a lot of different, you know, he obviously started with us in Indianapolis, you know, obviously went with Frank to Carolina, and then was able to add to the Dolphins this year and be around a great mind like Mike McDaniel and his staff. So, and he's just so hungry to continue to get better. And so really excited about adding him to that staff and the things that he'll bring to our offense and to our scheme and to our ability to coach the players. A lot of tight ends in this class, some of them really involved in the run game, others not as involved in the run game. You've had success with guys on both ends of the spectrum. How does that impact the way you view them transition to the NFL? Yeah, you know, when you're building a tight end room, it's kind of similar to when you're building a wide receiver room, you know, and you look at it like a basketball team. You don't want all point guards, you know. You want a point guard, you want a shooting guard, you know, you want a forward, you want a center, you want a small, you know, all those different things because of all the roles that you're asking them to do. It doesn't have to be one person does every role. You know, hey, I need a guy to be able to do this. I need a guy to be able to hold the edge here in blocking or run this route or run that route. And so, you know, I look at it the same way that when you're Do they give, as a group, as a whole, in the tight end room, do they provide everything you need for that? And so that's what you look at when you're looking at these guys. What roles can they specifically do, and can they help your offense with? Yeah, I think, again, I can't say enough about how important continuity is. For all parties involved. But, you know, going out and talking to other coaches, meeting with other coaching staffs, studying the league, having different projects, those are all going to be a really important part of this next, you know, the off season. but also, you know, bringing in a guy like Parks that does have familiarity and does have some of that continuity with us, but also has new, fresh ideas. Or, you know, we'll have a couple other positions that we'll fill and doing that in that sense as well. But I know this, that we have a curious and hungry group of, you know, we'll say on offense, you asked me about offense, of coaches that constantly want to get better. So, you know, even through the interview process, you write things down and you're like, yeah, I'd like to look into that. And I can't tell you how many things we'd start and said, hey, let's study this. Hey, let's study that. Oh, this could be good for us. And you do the same thing throughout the year, Zach. Like, you're playing, you know, you're playing the Rams and you're watching their offense. You're like, my goodness, there's so many good things that they do. The Packers, the Rams, you look at all those teams and you're like, let's really study this year. And so I have notes upon notes this year of all the things that we want to look at and want to study. Now, can you do all of them? No, but you can really dive into that at this particular point to continue to evolve your offense, and that will be a big part of this offseason. Yeah, you know, that in our weekly media in Philadelphia, I know you weren't part of that. They kind of asked me that as far as, you know, well, he had a lot of carries. How are you going to make sure he gets through? We do everything we can do to win each and every game. And a lot of times this year, that meant Saquon carrying it 20, 25 times. And that also is the case of what kind of game you're in, right? If you're in a game where you're in a four-minute game, you're going to keep pounding the ball to run the clock through and still be aggressive. But you handle and the maintenance of it, and Saquon handles the maintenance of it throughout the week. You know, Saquon had a couple more carries and a little bit more of a load this game. All right, how are we going to manage them throughout the week? Well, that's going to be the same thing through OTAs. That's going to be the same thing through training camp. And that will be the same thing we go through it. And when we get to game one, we're going to do everything we can do to win that game. And if that's him carrying it 20 times, then he'll do that. If it's going to be he carries it one time, we'll do that too. It probably won't be one. We're going to give it to him more than that. But we'll do that as well. And so, there's so many good people in our organization that help with that process of not only with Saquon, but with our entire team, of making sure that they have the right workload week in, week out, to be ready to play on Sundays. And then all the credit goes to the player themselves, because Saquon works incredibly hard at his body to make sure that he is the right, you know, in the right weight, the right nutrition, all those different things, so he can withstand an entire year. Yeah, anytime. I think I've seen a couple videos of our players being able to go back to their hometown after winning. You know, I saw Slay had a great moment at his hometown. I think Coop was talking at Iowa the other day. I saw something with Jahan Dotson there where he was able to go there. Now, this is for all those guys and for myself at Jamestown, I include myself into that. There's a lot of people that help get you to the spot that you're in when you're able to win it at the end of the year, or just be in the NFL in general. And so to see that the town, you know, is so excited for you, or my parents see somebody at church and like, oh, this person asked you about you, or that person asked about you, that's an awesome thing. Because it takes all those people. The town and the school that you went to make you who you are today, as part of what shaped you who you are today. The high times that you had there, the low times that you have there, shape you. And I'm definitely a product of Jamestown, you know, Jamestown, New York. And I'm really proud of that and really thankful for all the people, coaches, teachers, friends, parents, family, you know, everything that have helped shape me who I am today.
There he is, Nick Sirianni from the NFL Draft Combine. Was that final question about his high school?
Yeah, it's about the state of, his hometown.
All right. Yeah. So 15 minutes with the head coach of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles at the NFL Draft Combine. Last question about his high school and his hometown.
Well, I'd probably do a story on it.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. There we go.
Of course they are.
Right. Okay, well, not that much interesting from Howie, but there were a couple of nuggets there from Nick Sirianni about the tush push and about Saquon. So we will discuss all of that coming up next. Also, at 3 o'clock, we do have Tuesdays with Elliot, even though Elliot is at the Combine. So we'll see if there's anything else going on there, anything that he's heard about Myles Garrett, anything that he's heard about the tush push. So we will talk about what Nick had to say about the tush push and Saquon next, and then Elliot at 3 o'clock. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You heard Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni of the NFL Draft Combine. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Should the NFL ban the tush push, what do you think the response on the poll is?
Probably 99% no.
95.3%
yeah,
no.
Makes
there
sense.
You go. There you go. So Ike just had a good thought, is that we should have had Elliot ask Howie Roseman about the Nick Sirianni contract extension. Because I would have, wouldn't you have thought we would have heard about it within 48 hours of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Is it weird that there isn't?
Well, it's probably coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the down period.
You think
and that was Rod's idea. That wasn't.
Well, that's good leaders give all the credit, take all the blame.
Yeah, but he doesn't do that, though. Like,
yeah,
he
wants
credit for everything.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. What is wrong with y'all?
Well, you know what? It's like you expect when you hear a promotion, you go, Bijan or Bus, presented by Rod Lakin on 94 WIP. I'm surprised
or
we
one
don't.
Of his like catchy, you know, Clearwater return things.
Oh, right,
you know,
right,
like,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's spring camp. It's spring revenge on WIP,
exactly,
brought to you
right.
by Rod Lakin.
Yeah, wow.
Unbelievable. What a me guy. Me guy.
But it is a little surprising we haven't heard that. I wonder if Sirianni's playing hardball.
Yeah.
I mean.
1 year left?
Yes.
So, like, next year is his final year?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
Nah, make him earn it.
Yeah. Well, Jack, you weren't here this. We had a caller last week after the Kevin Petullo hiring happened. He said, they're not going to give him an extension, and he's going to get fired because of this. And we're like, wait a minute.
He's just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's going to get fired. So, all right. So, a couple of, we have Elliot Shoreparks joining us at 3 o'clock, and we'll discuss all these things. We'll also discuss Myles Garrett at that point as well. There were two things that I took from Nick Sirianni's availability there. And the first thing is from the about the tush push. So, Jack, do we have the audio where he says whether it's fair or unfair? So, here is Nick Sirianni on the tush push.
I think I've seen some of the stuff like, well, you know that it's an automatic play, or you know that it's not a, we work really, really, you know, I almost feel a little insulted because we work so hard at that play. The amount of things that we've looked into how to coach that play, the fundamentals, is always, there's 1,000 plays out there, but it comes down to how you teach the fundamentals and then how the players go through and do with the fundamentals. I can't tell you how many times we practice the snap, we practice the play, because it's not a play that it's easy to practice. There's different ways we figured out how to practice it. The compliments that come off of it that can create explosive plays. Again, we saw it in big time games this year, and the fact that it's an automatic thing, that like we work really, really hard and our guys are talented at this play. Just because it's a successful play for us doesn't mean that it should go away.
Can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
Sirianni changed my mind on it. I was anti tush push, now I'm pro tush push. I actually think it's unfair that the league would ban it. And he's right. Other teams are trying it, but the Eagles are the only team that do it as well as the Eagles do it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing about what they do that is against the rules in the NFL. And here's where it touched me as a human. Here's where it touched
me. Yeah, come on, man.
Here's where it touched me.
Yeah.
Back of the throat. No. Here's where it touched me. Here's where it touched me. Here's where it touched me. Is I thought back to the beginning of the process. And I thought
back to the Sixers.
Well, I'm just thinking. And I thought back to what Hinkie did, and everybody said, this is unfair, shouldn't be allowed to do it, they should change the rules, blah, 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 blah. These are the rules. These are the rules. Anyone can do it. Anyone can do the tush push. Anyone's allowed to do it in the NFL. Anyone's allowed to do it. Mm-hmm. It's the Eagles have the personnel who can do it. And I do think I can't believe I changed my mind on this. I do think it's unfair, and I thought he made a good point as well. I haven't seen one player injured during a tush push. In I've been talking about player safety. I can't think of one time. I can think of, you know, when they made the leading with your head, you know, against the rules. Mm-hmm. I can think about why that should be illegal from a safety standpoint. I can think about the hip drop tackles. I can think about players injured for that. I can think why that should be illegal. I've watched, you know, how many years have we watched tush push? 4 years of the tush push, doing it more.
I mean, longer than that.
He's been here this 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah.
So the entire time he's been here. I can't think of an injury. I remember Chris Jones last year, his neck getting a little tweaked, but he was also standing sideways on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just keep thinking about this. It's like banning a player because he's too fast.
Yeah. I actually had a buddy text me that. Like, yeah, what are we going to do? Ban wide receivers because...
Right, they're too fast.
We're banning the go route because the receiver is so fast. Like, yeah. You can't run a go route.
Whereas Mekhi Becton too tall. Right. He should play on his knees.
Yeah,
you know?
Listen, I hear you. I'm not about banning it. I'm more or less where Joe Giglio was at, which is, if they did, I don't think this drastically changes the Eagles. I just don't. I've never felt that way. I think sometimes we use it as a crutch. So we feel like if they take it away from us, somehow we're not going to be as successful.
I don't know.
We certainly use it as a crutch. Anytime you run it as much as what game was that we must have ran it like six times in one game, seven times.
It was
in one
a game,
game
we almost won. Maybe it was the Jacksonville game. Is that the game that we kept getting stuffed on it? That's why we kept running
the Jacksonville game.
Yeah. I actually think it actually hurts them too. You say that you think
it
they'd
hurts
be okay.
The Eagles?
Yes, if they can't do it, I don't think giving the ball to Saquon if giving the ball to Saquon was as for 1 yard. Mm-hmm. was as successful as the tush push was, they would just do it. It's not as successful as the tush push That's why they don't do it.
But it doesn't mean that with our offensive line and Saquon that we can't get a third and one.
I know, but the tush push is more successful than
sure
Saquon would be.
Of course it is.
So I want them to keep it. I think it's a good play. I actually think it will hurt the Eagles if it goes
the
way.
You agree with 98% of the people.
Well, I'm sorry. I just thought about it.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we aren't outraged by it. It's the other coaches in the league that are outraged by it. I just don't really care enough about it to complain about it if they did ban it. Like, I just don't think it's going to change a whole lot for the Eagles.
I think it changes something. And Jack, you are anti-tush
push. We're not
going to
know unless they ban it.
Right. We will know.
We won't know.
But it seems like it is heading in that direction. With the number of teams that have been vocal about, mm-hmm. you know, one day ago it was mystery team, but now there have been, you know, Sean McDermott has talked against it. The Packers have admitted that they didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Raheem Morris admitted he didn't like it.
Knee 24.
Yeah, it seems like there is some momentum going that way to ban it. You know what I mean? So it seems like we will get a look at it. Jack, do you think it would significantly affect the Eagles next year?
No, because I think they can still run a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
But it's way different.
But it's not that
it's
different.
It's not that different.
I don't know.
Like Jalen gives him advantage of it because he can squat so much.
He squats 600 pounds.
Have you heard that before, Spike?
I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've absolutely
heard it. Like, it's not like we got Coy Detmer back there who needs to be picked up and thrown 2 yards.
Well, come on. The neckbeard could have done it.
I know. I'm just saying. It's not like we got this small quarterback back there. If we don't do the tush push, we're in trouble. Like...
Yeah.
It's just a quarterback sneak. If they take it away, it's a quarterback
sneak.
That's
all it is, a quarterback sneak.
Yeah. But and they'll get stopped a little bit more because
yes.
they're not going to have a momentum pushing them behind it.
Yep.
But they're still going to run it.
Because there are a lot of times when Jalen would get to the line of scrimmage and then getting through it would be when he gets pushed. Now, the thing I don't know is is he waiting for that?
Of course he is.
Yeah. So
because he's not running a regular quarterback sneak. He's just waiting to be pushed. If he was actually running a quarterback sneak, he would have to put more effort into driving. I mean, we already have the biggest offensive line in football. We got guards that are 400 pounds almost. Like, well, how's it going to hurt them? Like, the quarterback squats 600 pounds.
Maybe I'll just have to see it without it. But maybe I'm scarred by just seeing it work the way that it's worked and thinking that we can't be as successful without it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just maybe my vantage point is skewed because we don't do any regular quarterback sneaks anymore. So I don't know how successful it would be, you know. The other thing he said was somebody did.
But here's what I would ask.
Yeah.
It's from from a case study standpoint.
Yeah.
Quarterback sneaks in general, how successful are they?
Yeah, I don't know. Brady was awesome at it, right?
Just in the league today, how successful are they? Like Cam Newton, there are plenty of quarterbacks that have been great at quarterback sneaks.
Sure, the big strong ones.
And Brady was great at it because Brady knew how to wait through his offensive line, created a little bit of an area, and then Brady would lower his head and dive in there. And he was almost unstoppable on the goal line with quarterback sneaks. He never needed a tush push.
Yeah, he might have been the best ever at that.
Yeah.
That's a real cool. Again, that's a real play.
It's the truth. He was almost unstoppable at being at quarterback sneaks.
Yeah, and they didn't ban it.
Without Gronk behind him.
And they didn't ban it.
Yeah, because that's different.
Because it's a regular play. It's a quarterback sneak. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Defensive coaches feel like they're at a disadvantage when you allow players to physically push the quarterback from behind. That's really what it boils down to. I understand why Eagles fans don't care about any of that because we don't have to face it.
Right.
Right? Like we don't have to face it. So I get it, and it's our play. I'm just saying that I don't think it would impact the Eagles a whole lot from a success standpoint. We still have the best offensive line in football, and they want to. Did we not win a Super Bowl without doing a tush push?
We did it once, didn't we, in the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm just saying, that team was not known for the tush push is the point I'm making.
2018,
yes, correct.
And we won the Super Bowl.
We did. Better at throwing it.
Well, okay.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So, Elliot, we'll get to the Saquon stuff in a moment. Elliot Shoreparks is it Indianapolis? That's where they are, right?
Yeah.
For the combine.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elliot is in Indianapolis, the bustling metropolis of nightlife that everybody loves in Indianapolis.
We'll see if you can get away from the people.
Yeah. The steakhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that one, right? Is that the one that has the special shrimp cocktail in it in Indianapolis?
St. Elmo's.
Yes, that's the place, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. You know me. I know all the big steakhouses.
Oh, man, I know.
I'm wondering how you knew that.
Yeah.
You used to be a steaksman.
We did. Well, we had...
We'll get you back.
We had fly the... We had... we did a Ricky trip to India. You're not getting me back, but we had... I have a cow tattooed on me that says, don't eat me. I probably can't go back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right.
I've never seen that. He does have a cow on him. Says,
get that on camera.
Yeah.
That'll do numbers. Come on, Morgenstein.
Yeah.
What a scene.
He can do it if he wants.
Holy
I don't care.
Cow,
all man. Right. So Elliot joins us next. It's the W. But I'll
They're
tell the story
dead.
Next. I know, but we killed him for
215-592.
All right.
Meatless.
All right. 215-592-9494. Elliot Shoreparks joins us next Tuesdays with Elliot. It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.